I'm going to introduce the course by telling you about the structure of the course, the literature, the tools that we are going to use, the examinations forms, and so on and so on. So here you see the frontal room for security management dynamics. And you see here first a short introduction as to the topics in the course. I will supply with materials that you find in the find below. As to the literature, we are here. You have my lectures, that is the PowerPoint slides, along with other documentation, introductions to each of the topics of the course, projects, exercises, and later when you have tried to solve the exercises, after some days, I will post solutions to the exercises. You don't really need any book for this course, but you can learn more about the method of the course. And here you have some references of books that you can get. More references I will show soon in another document. But in principle, if you take the courses, the lectures, you do the exercises, and active also in the folder questions and answers, then you should be doing enough for getting a good mark. I will tell you in a moment also that we have a tool that we use for creating models of information security. You can download it from Ventana Systems for free. I will come back to that later. But in principle, I have some experience with this course. I've been teaching that in various forms for some years. And the experience shows that the students increase their understanding. They have a learning curve. They become better and better. And typically, the students are report that they are very satisfied with the results. Also, they find later that in security management, that there are many interesting topics for further projects, for master projects. So I have had master projects in all range from defense, cooperating with Norwegian defense, with public institutions, but also with some companies like Demonic. Some foreign students, they have been conducting master thesis in cooperation with some public organization or enterprise in their country of origin. What I recommend that you do is, if you have laptops, bring them to the class, since then you will be able to do exercises using the tool that I will introduce in a moment. You can do it also then on paper, but you will soon find that the tool from Ventana System called Vensim, that this is a very supportive tool that allows you to create the models very well. In addition, later the models will be simulated, and for that you have to build up the models. You can of course do that after the class, but if you have them here, if you have here your laptop, then you can do that interactively with me. I am showing things, then you can do it yourself. If you don't have a laptop, then you can always sit together with somebody else who has a laptop and work together. Now, as to the course evaluation. Well, I forgot one thing. I forgot to introduce myself. I'm not sure if this will be recorded. If I write here, perhaps I have to move this. And then the next question is how to write. I don't see a pencil. So I think I am solving this first by writing it here, hoping that this will be visible. So I come originally from Spain, and you can call me Jose. In Spanish it will be Jose. And my surname is Gonzalez. You can just say Gonzalez, as most Norwegians do. I've been in Norway for many years, longer than most Norwegians, since 1971. So 44 years is more than half the average of life length of Norwegians. So that's why I can say I've been living here longer than most Norwegians. I am here on part-time, 20% position in Gjøvik. My full position is in the University of Agder, where I am professor of ICT and information security. In addition to me, so this is myself, I am professor. We have a student assistant. He will come this afternoon for a while and assist when we conduct exercises, but he will also mainly be active online and give you support and engage you. His name is Konstantin. Maybe I pronounce it correct, maybe it's Konstantin, but he will tell you, Konstantin, I think, Lenchik. He has taken this course before. He's now doing his master project. And more about his activities this afternoon. As you know, we have first 3 hours, then a break until 3 o'clock, and then we continue. So now as to the examination. We have 2 projects, each counting 35%, and 2 multiple-choice exams, each counting 50%. The projects start by at 8 o'clock Monday, the first time Monday 15th February, and the second time Monday 14th March. Then you get a whole week for the project. It doesn't mean you have to work for a whole week. I estimate if you are well prepared and you have followed with the lectures and done the exercises, then 8-10 hours should be sufficient. Many students spend more hours, but you have not to. If you are well prepared, 8 to 10 hours is sufficient. And also it's important to be disciplined, because probably you have heard about Parkinson's law that says work expands to fill the time available. So if you have 30 hours, then work will expand to fill you 30 hours. So that's why it's very important to be disciplined and say, I am told this is supposed to be 8 to 10 hours work, make a project plan, and stick to that. That will allow you to be disciplined, to prioritize what is important. Welcome. The course is going to be streamed and recorded, so what I said in the beginning, you can see later if you take the course, or you can ask me. I just have introduced the course. So I was telling about the exams. This is what we call a portfolio assessment, mappe evaluering in Norwegian. So that is, instead of having a final exam at the end of some hours, you will be evaluated in several stages during the course, and you have 2 projects, each going for a week, but requiring, as I said, if you are well prepared, 8 to 10 hours work. Each project will count 35%. And when the project finishes in the evening of a Friday, there will be a multiple choice exams that you do via Fronter. You get all the same project. That means you can talk and discuss as much as you like between yourselves. The only thing that I require is that the project that you deliver is completely written by yourself. It's very easy to detect if you are copy-pasting, because all students make mistakes, and if I see exactly the same mistake in two different reports, that's a quite a very clear indication of copy-pasting. And also it's in your interest to be yourself and not rather be somebody else. So why don't I mind so much about you talking during the project? Because I see an examination project also as an opportunity for you to learn. When you are expecting, when you are doing something to get a mark or get a grade, then you are most motivated. So that's a splendid opportunity for learning more. And we all learn by learning from others. That's the way it is. So if you have the opportunity to talk and watch what is good from others and learn it and make it your own personality, then you become very effective. The important thing is in the end, you put your stamp. It's myself who has done it. Yes, I learned this thing by discussing this with this person, and I learned that other thing with other person, or by talking with A and B, clarify my thoughts. That's all perfectly fine. But the important thing is that you learn. Another thing that I do is because an examination, an exam is a very good opportunity for learning, you need feedback. If you just get a grade, you got B or C or D or A or whatever, it's hard for you to understand what you did right and what you didn't do right. But if you get from me an evaluation of what you did and what could be improved, then you are learning for the future. And that's why I see in this course, and you will see in the next course, because there is a follow-up course, that there is a very clear learning curve. You become better. I always see that in this course. The students become better step for step because they learn. As to the multiple choice exam, this is done via Fronter. And Fronter chooses questions from a pool that I have created. So here you get different versions of the exam. Also, the questions come in different order. And that's because here I have no control as to whether you do it or somebody else does it. In the project, I can see that, because if you copy-paste, you copy mistakes. But in a multiple-choice exam, if you sit to it next to each other and you are seeing exactly the same questions in the same order, then you can cooperate. But in the multiple choice exams, you get different questions in different order from the pool and so on. And also, you have short time, so that makes it more difficult for students to cooperate in the sense of doing the same thing. But in the projects, as I said, this is a splendid opportunity during the week for discuss things. And then I recommend you very much to become active in the folder questions and answers. Here, I have to delete these things because they are still from last year. But here you can engage and ask questions or make comments or whatever, whatever. And this is going to be a very important forum because, as I said, in addition to the lecturer and the student assistant, Konstantin Lemchik, that will assist you, you students are also a pool of knowledge that increases. And it's very important to learn from peers. If you use that opportunity, you will become much better and more effective. And also it's much more fun, because you form a community. Okay. Any questions? Okay, so much to the introduction. Now we are beginning, and the way we do that is that we have courses in 3 days, today, 2nd of February, next Tuesday, 9th of February, and finally 1st of March for this course. In between, we have the examination project, starting the 15th of February, and another examination project starting the 14th of March. There is a follow-up course, which is about security as continuous improvement. You can take that course if you pass this course. That is the requirements. And we will, I will make sure that I do the grading of the projects fast, so that it is clear path for taking the next course. If you request it, you can get already read access to the next course. Maybe Hilde Bakke has already give that to all the students here. Okay, so now to today. Today I will have a very brief review of the issues of security standards that are important for this course. Security standards is not part of this course. This you get in another course in information security. But I want to remind you, or to, if you haven't had security standards already, I would like to highlight the important fact that the security standards have been developed in the sense of quality improvement. Security is seen as something that needs to be cared for so that it goes well. Or say it in a different way. If incidents happen, then you have problems. And problems affect quality. Quality of whatever it is. So if it is an organization or a company that is delivering services, and incidents occur, services will be less good. If it is a company that is producing something and it depends on computers and networks, and incidents occur, then this will affect the quality of the products, or it will affect the productivity of the company. So that means this affects quality. In the area of quality improvement, we have a very, very long history. As compared to information security that came up with computers and networks, the question of assuring quality become to be a topic in the beginning of the 20th century, and it has a long and proud past, of improvement and assisting organizations and companies to become better. So that's why security standards are based on the notion of quality improvement. And it is based on the issue of continuous improvement. And that's why security management is very much concerned with these processes. Then, after reviewing the question of quality standards in the light of quality improvement and its importance for security management, then I will start introducing the notion of creating models for security. And then I will introduce to you a tool that we can use for that. But then let's get started. If you look here at the contents of the course, then you see something about security standard, about methodology. If you click on one of these, let's start with those on security standards. Then you get an overview. It is an introduction of the topic and why it is important. This is something that you should read. I am not going to give you a lecture about that. It's simply a preparation, but you should read that. It's only about 2 pages. In fact, a little bit more, about a page. And it gives you some references. So consider this about document as an introduction to the topic. So basically what the document says is telling you why it's important to have international standards and how these standards are structured. And it goes also, it tells you already the issue that I have emphasized, that best practice in information security requires continuous quality improvement. I am, as you see, enhancing that, which again emphasizes the fact that security standards are children of quality improvement, that is a methodology that started early in the 20th century and has become better and better and better. Among other things, the plan, do, check, adjust approach, I forgot what it is, PDCA. This is, this comes, this will comes from quality improvement. So this is a very simple overview, and now in the lecture you can see more details. So let's start with the lecture. This lecture you have as Adobe file, and you can download it from Frontier. Maybe you did that before, then you will notice that I have replaced it by a new version. The changes are very small. It's basically changing the front page to signify that we are now the Norwegian University of Science and Technology. And here you see about myself. And as you can see, I am professor at the Faculty of Engineering and Science. I work in the Center for Integrated Emergency Management, which I founded 5 years ago, and which is a research priority for the university. Actually a very successful one. If you go to the web page of the center, then you can see that we have a lot of interesting projects, including European projects. And as to here in Gjøvik, I am called Professor 2, which is nothing else than a part-time professor. I have a 20% allotment here. So I am not going to go through all the slides, but only through selected slides, and then it's up to you to look at the others, which is about the history of the standards and some details for that. Those standards will become important for you later in professional life, particularly if the company that you work wants to be certified or is certified according to ISO standards. This is a very big documentation of many parts. First, it has the fundamentals and the terms for information security management systems. That's kind of the management systems that must be established so as to guide the implementation and maintenance of information security. Then you have the specification for those information security management systems. Then about the code of practice, which is more about the practical aspects, guidelines for implementation, how you measure and the metrics for that. Information security risk management, that is an important part, of course, of security to assess and manage the risk. And for those organizations that want to be accredited according to standards, the guidelines for so. Some organizations must by law be accredited. If they are by some reason very important for or very crucial for critical infrastructure of the nation. Then the next slides, they are about the history and so on and so on, a little bit about how the standards were developed in terms of controlling different issues, controlling risk, organization, management, the assets of the company, that's what is important, which is valuable for the company, about human resources, physical security, and so on and so on. All the aspects that must be considered so as to have good information security. For instance, physical security, you can have the best firewalls and passwords and incidents, detecting systems and intrusion, whatever. If somebody steals your laptop, and physically, if you don't protect your laptop and you lose it, then all the other things don't help. So that's why we have to consider not only the virtual aspects of information security, but also physical access and so on and so on. Okay, so all this, anyhow, that's part of, you will learn about this much more in other courses. This is more so for the history and so on. Now let's go to the thing that relates to this course. And that's about the management. In the security standards, a lot of emphasis is given on the company establishing an information security management system, which is based on the will of, which is often called the PDCA, you will, Plan, Do, Check, Act, will. This will was developed in quality improvement many decades ago, and established it when the, I don't know if you know the story, the origin of quality improvement comes from the United States. And then they developed the theory and so on. Then, shortly after the Second World War, the managers of the Toyota visited the United States to learn about all kinds of things. And the thing that most impressed them was the way supermarkets were conducted. They were running very well. And they looked closely at them, and they were following the principles of quality control. And they translated it to Japan and became leaders in the world. And that's part of the reason why Toyota is still one of the leading companies in the world. So actually, it was Japan that became the leader in quality improvement in practice. And among the things the Toyota leaders learned was about the PDCA will, which in the way it's presented here is about information security management systems, but you could put in quality management system instead of IESMS, and then that's the origin of the will. So there are four main activities: to plan, to do, to check, and to act. And because it's a will, it will be turning around. So when you have gone one through, you will start with plan, do, check, act, and another turn of the will, and so on. These procedures, these activities, relate to the stakeholders or interested parties. They will provide the managers of information security with requirements and expectations that then the chief security officer and his or her staff will care for. And the outcome of this that must be communicated to the stakeholders is regularly information about how information security is managed with results and metrics. Then looking at the different parts of the system, in planning, it's about establishing and later maintaining the information security management system. And you see here a number of keywords. The scope is delimiting. What are we going to do? So it's in a sense defining the area where you are going to be active, and that will be different from organization to organization, because it will depend on what it's doing, what kind of services or product it's producing, how the different parts of security affect this, and so on. And also it's about how much you want to invest in that, because defining the security or information security management system is kind of buying an insurance. When you insure things, then you have to decide how much you want to pay for the insurance, because you cannot pay for eliminating or being insured against everything. So you must compare how much it costs as to how much it's worth the cost. And similarly, in terms of defining information security management system, you have to agree how far you want to go, because if you want to do everything, then it becomes more and more expensive, and maybe what the end you are protecting is not so much worth. So some risk must be accepted. And then the policy as the way to proceed needs to be defined. Then, because it's about assessing the risk, then you have to define how you are going to do that, because there are different ways of dealing with risk, qualitative, quantitative, and so on, with many different variations. So again, the organization must evaluate the different procedures and decide which is the best for the organization's case. Once the procedure for risk assessment is defined, then you have to identify risk, finding out what are the risks, and then you have to analyze them and evaluate them so that you know well what they are, how dangerous they are. Some of them, they are not so dangerous, you will accept them, okay, you take the accept the risk. You will identify and evaluate the options for how to treat this. You will then select the controls. That is the way you are going to handle and delimit, mitigate the risk. Then you have the issue of the residual risks. Residual risks are the risks that you decide or you propose not to control because you accept them, because you consider them a little probable, or perhaps because if they happen, the damage is so low that the total consideration of probability and damage makes you to accept them. That is the residual risk. But a chief information security officer sometimes has not the mandate to decide him or herself, so maybe it's needed to go up to the CEO, the chief economic officer of the company, so as to get acceptance for the decision about the residual risk. And then the whole thing needs to be documented in a statement of applicability. So that's the first step in the PDCA wheel. If you have questions at any time or comments, please raise your hand or just talk. Then in the do part, you start implementing things. So about the risk treatment plan, as to implementing it, as to implementing the controls, so as to have the things, the issues that affect security under control. But then you need to measure the effectiveness of these controls, engage the company with awareness and training programs, care for management, the operations to this effect, and the resources needed, And very, very important, because incidents will happen, how do you detect them? How do you analyze them? How do you handle them? How do you learn from them? This is very important, this issue of the incidents, because a lot of the incidents, they are, so to speak, near misses. They happen, but they don't affect the system very much, or only slightly. But they are giving you, if you detect them and analyze them and learn from them, then they are giving you clear indications as to how to improve. And that's necessary, because we are dealing with malicious agents who are very clever, and they are learning themselves. So if you don't learn yourself and improve continuously your information security, then you will lay behind. And sooner or later, the malicious agents are going to outsmart you. So that's why the detection and handling and learning from security incidents is so important. Then in the check part, is about looking closely as to how well the system is working. So monitoring, reviewing, measuring, looking at the risk again, see if the residual risks still are acceptable, whether they need to be addressed. Having regular audits, internal, there can be also external ones, internal can be done regularly. Review the system and document the whole thing so that you can use it for the next procedure, which is about the maintenance and improvement of the information security management system. You have identified things that need to be done, so you implement them. You correct or you prevent things. You have to communicate that, because there are stakeholders that are involved. After all, the information security officer is, they are not just for fun, but for helping the company or the organization to do whatever they are supposed to do. And you have to ensure that the objectives are met. And then you will normally start again with planning, doing, checking, acting, because that's a process that never ends as long as you are responsible for the security. So what I want you to get out of this is the issue that there is something going on over time. It's not a static issue. There are things occurring, and they are leading to new steps and so on and so on. That's the first thing. In the second, that it is a process of continuous improvement based on planning, doing things, checking what they are doing, and then taking decisions on what is needed to improve, and planning again, doing, checking, acting, planning, and so on and so on. That's an issue of continuous improvement. And in the first course, we learn about the basic and the methodology. In the second course, we deal with quality improvement in security, how to manage that, what are the issues, and so on and so on. So therefore, the security standard for us, we are not learning so much about the security standards, but we are extracting what are the main lessons or the main motivation for thinking about management of security as a quality improvement process. Then in the rest, you can just go quickly through that. The standards, if you want to look closely at them, you will have to buy them. They are very expensive. I don't think we have them even in the library here, because they are very expensive. But if you want to learn more about the standards, the reference that you find in the About document to Kohler and Watkins about IT governance gives you an overview of the standards, different chapters with all this. So all this in detail you find in the book. Okay, so which is the reference here. But I want to stay in these last three slides. As I said, the other things is more for going through that or maybe skipping that. It depends on your interest. But what is important to understand is that the standards which organizations can buy, and as I told you, they are very detailed, cost also a lot of money. You cannot consider it to be a finished security manual. They are rather a guidance, and they are also in this guidance to do that in a way that is best practice and has been approved, so to speak, by experts and by international bodies to create commonalities. So they are not finished because they need to be tailored, they need to be applied for the actual case. But you can consider them a framework for establishing security. And in order to tailor that to the particular company organization, you need experts in information security and information technology, but also in the issue of communicating and human skills, because you are dealing with people. They are a very important part of security, and they are also the users of that, and they are the people who are working in organization and whose job depend on the security. Very important is about how to create incentives, so attract people to do the right thing. And these incentives, that is, move people away from things that shouldn't be done. And then, very, very important, you are not done by doing this once. You have to conduct risk assessments and audits of the information security management system regularly. Again, how this is done in practice, it depends on the particular organization, its scope, its needs, its exposure to threats and risk, the history, and so on. A lot of things in practice. The other thing is that it is a red thread, continual improvement of security. And as I have mentioned several times, the discipline of quality improvement that emerged early in the 20th century and has now a long and proud history in all kinds of organizations, public and private, has been the inspiration and the guide for information security. But then, I am already pointing to one of the issues that we will be dealing in the second course. It turns out that implementing quality improvement and implementing good security has a very high failure rate. And we have to learn what are the reasons and how to avoid that. So this is a central issue for both courses. By some reason, the course with the highest code, 4661, is the first. This is the one we are having now. And then the continuation course, 4651, Security as Continuous Improvement, will start after we finish this course. Any questions? Then, the standards, as I said, they are very expensive, so only organizations that need to be certified will, or those that are extremely interested in standards will buy them. But the essentials and the most important things are given in this book, which probably now exists in a new edition called Ann Watkins. It's a very, very good book. And as far as I remember, it is used as textbook in Vad är det Det må ju vara det. Så antagligen visst må vi gå ut. Okej.